choir. Good evening, everyone. All right, it's good to see you tonight. Let's stand together. Take your hymn books, turn to 438. 438, a good song. I want that mountain. It belongs to me. 438, here we go. I saw the giant of fearlessness upon the mountain high. He laughed so hard at my unbended knee. No longer in the wilderness. I want that mountain. It belongs to me. I want that mountain. I want that mountain. Where the money flows, where the grapes are best grown. I want that mountain. I want that mountain. The mountain that my Lord has given me. On the last now, let every giant of distress and unbelief get ready now to. I've come from out the wilderness. I know I'm going to win. I want that mountain. It belongs to me. I want that mountain. I want that mountain. Where the milk and honey flow. Where the grapes of Israel grow. Only a sinner saved by grace. That's what I am, amen. Only a sinner saved by grace. 221.
Not have I gotten, but what I receive. Faith has preserved since I have believed.
Hold your place there. We'll come back and sing the last verse. But go ahead and take time and shake hands with those around you this evening. Thank you.
last verse together. Here we go. Suffer a sinner whose heart overflows, loving his Savior, tell what he knows. Once more to tell it, would I embrace? I'm only a sinner, save my grace. Only a sinner, save my grace. Only a sinner, save my grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner. Thank you for the good singing. You may be seated. And at this time, we have a special Parson duet. Amen. Brother Caleb and his wife Hannah are going to sing for us at this time.
I was working in town one afternoon, attending some business affairs, when I heard a commotion a couple streets over and wondered what was happening there. A young man was running from in that direction and stopped just to catch his breath. I asked him to please tell me what was the hurry. He smiled up at me and he said, I was trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl he's leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. My friend, if the troubles and burdens you carry are heavy and dragging you down, there's hardly thing you can possibly think of, there's no relief to be found. That very same Jesus that altered the future of the blind man, the deaf and the lame, is still reaching out in your hour of trouble. One touch and you're never the same. You'll be trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl he's leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all.
All right, our ushers are coming down. If you didn't know that, those folks are related to me. Amen. Good singing tonight. The blind man saw it all, and Brother Jevin has decided to put glasses on so that he could see you tonight. Amen. And so he did wear, these are his shooting glasses, so he's going to shoot you a card and a pen tonight. And so as he comes by, if you're a first time with us, if you'd raise your hand up, we'd like to give you a card and a pen, get a record of your visit tonight. And it's so good to have everybody. It's good, I didn't mention it, but it's good to have Brother Donahue back. He was back there this morning, and I think he's with his wife tonight. So again, if you've been praying for him, thank you for praying. Did get home safely, and hope to get a report from him pretty soon of the trip there. He's been giving us updates, but it's good to hear it from him firsthand. Amen. Thank you for going over to the gym sale and just some of our announcements. We need you to help us again next Saturday, 8 to 2 p.m. All the proceeds will go to our teen missions trip, and I took a little bit of time this morning to try to invite to fill it back up. And again, if you didn't get to bring your stuff out, we will still take it. We got one more Saturday to go, and so we could use it to fill in all the places of the things that got bought. That would help us big time. And then we also need you to come back out and purchase some things yourself, but we really want you to get the word out. I mentioned the signs being gone. We'll still push it on the radio, but really, if you could reach out and let people know that we're doing it, word of mouth will help us. People will come out. And then I'll just say this, make sure if you could to be out again next Sunday. We'll kick off our Spanish Bible Conference. We've done this before, but last time we had our the RVG Society here, and we had that down at the college chapel and did several things. But this year we're going to have it right here in our main auditorium, kicking it off Sunday night, and we'll go through Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. There'll be day sessions on Tuesday and Wednesday. We'd love for you to be able to tune into that or come out for it. It will be special and be a part. Want you to be able to do that. That will be June 8th through the 11th, Wednesday 11th, and that'll be right here in the church auditorium. I mentioned this morning, but I'll remind you again that Wednesday night service will be moved up to 7 p.m. because it'll be 7 p.m. Monday night, well, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and then Wednesday night, all right? So make sure you come out for that. It'd be great. And we'll have, if it's in Spanish, we'll have an interrupter or an interpreter, whatever you want to call them. And then, and if we go the opposite way, we'll try to have all those things set up and ready to go. That way you can tune in and be able to be a part. Junior camp is just around the corner. There are brochures in the back, but you can go right online and sign up your camper or tell people. So again, tell people, point them to the website so they can get signed up. And then again, they can pay at the door. We're going to have next Sunday. So for Sunday school teachers, junior church workers, all of you that work real hard to get those young people their certificates, we're going to have them line up next Sunday. And so we'll be in contact with you about how we're going to do that. Bus workers, all of you that help them get that, we'll be giving those certificates next Sunday in the Sunday morning service. All right, anything you can give, if you want to give to the campers going, please put it on the envelope and just put camp on that envelope. That'll help us big time. Then I want to deal with one more thing. We have decided to have some classes this summer down at the college. We're going to kind of shut down our ministry, so I just want to give you a heads up. This Wednesday at noon, if you're calling the church office or any of the offices, the school offices, we're going to close the offices at noon. We're going to try to invest in our staff. We're going to have some college classes primarily for our staff, but since we are doing it, we are going to open up to our church. All right, so if you want to take classes, we're going to do 7 Wednesdays from 1 to 5. That's 4 hours of class, and we're going to get classes in. So you are welcome as church to come attend. There'll be no charge for the classes. The only thing it'll cost you is your time and the book, whatever the book fees or whatever it will be. I don't know. Some of these professors, you never know what Dr. Pitts might make you buy an encyclopedia set. I don't even know if they still have those. Anyway, but whatever he makes you buy. But it'll be Wednesday, starting this coming Wednesday at 1 p.m. You can meet us in Carter's Corner. We'll have orientation, registration, and we're going to get right to the classes. And so we'll stay till 5 o'clock. You say, that's a lot of hours. It is a lot of hours, but you're going to, one class is going to be biblical counseling. I wanted to tell you about him. So Brother James Vercellis is going to be in more than one place at a time. His will be on video, all right? It's going to be a 3-credit class, though. That's why we're doing it that way. We'll be able to power through that class. The other two classes will be live, and there'll be 2-credit classes. One will be with Dr. Pitts, and it'll be Nehemiah. You take the book of Nehemiah, or you can go with Dr. Bradley. He'll be teaching a class on spiritual leadership. So all three of those classes, biblical counseling with Brother James, it'll be on video, but it'll be a class setting. You can get those credits through the summer through 7 Wednesday nights, all right, from 1 to 5 p.m. We'll break in the middle, have a time for snack, for, you know, just a break, a breather, and then we'll get right back to the 2 hours of classes. And so if you want to be a part of that, you're welcome to. Just show up at Carter's this coming Wednesday at 1 p.m. You don't have to come to everyone. If you just want to be a blessing and take part of the class and be a part of it, if you don't want the credits, you can come and enjoy it, all right? I mean, you don't have to write the papers and take the test. But for our staff and for all of you as church members, you are welcome to be a part of that. We want you to grow in the Lord and be a part if you want to be there. As we turn our attention to the prayer list tonight, just want to make sure that we again put out the name of Elizabeth Owens. This is one of our missionaries' daughters. She's 12 years old. She was in a bad accident on a four-wheeler, and again, broke her arm and her leg, had to have plates and screws and all kinds of stuff put in, several surgeries. Please be in prayer for her as she recovers. And again, it's still early after the surgeries, no infection. They are in Bulgaria, so I want you to be in prayer for them. as they are. They're Elizabeth Owens, all right? Again, my wife and I grew up with them. They are Brother Jonathan Owens, is her dad, Shannon Owens, her mom, and they've been there for 20-some years. We need to pray for them, if you would. Miss Vesta Conley has surgery coming up on June 19th. I want you to be in prayer for that. It's going to be on her leg. Then Jenny Williams, hip replacement. These are all recovering from surgery. Daniel Jones. Continue to pray for Ralph Hutchinson, Cindy Bradford, Russ Messersmith, Miss Linda Donahue, and also Miss Shirley Woolham. Pray for wisdom for the doctors there. She's having a lot of pain in one of her knees, and want you to be able to pray there that doctors will have some wisdom about how to help her there. And then those on our cancer list, Angela Wilkie, David Murdoch, and Dan Canales. Let's stand together. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. We'll pray for these on the list and also for the offering tonight. I appreciate having one of our deacons, Brother Steve Stanek. You come and pray for us, my brother.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this day and for your blessings, Lord. Thank you that we can still gather together freely. Thank you that we live in a free country where that is a possibility. Lord, help us to never take that for granted. God, we've started the summer time, but Lord, there's no time off, and we need to continue to keep serving, keep attending, and working towards the goal of seeing souls saved. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunities that we have to work and to labor. Lord, and with all the activities that are going on with camps and different things in the yard sale, to be able to provide for that, God, we just pray that you'd be in the midst, that you'd work in it and see young lives changed. Lord, we do think of those that are on the prayer list. God, we think of this young missionary daughter and serving on the field and just the accidents, and doesn't matter where we're at, Lord, we have these things in our lives, and we just pray that you'd strengthen and help that family. And the different other ones, I even heard some tonight of one of the missionaries and just the good preaching that was going on and in a different country. And God, we just thank you that souls still are saved. And Lord, we just pray that you'll be with all the others that are on the prayer request list. Lord, there's many for cancer and tests and just other things. God, you are the great physician, and help us to remember to lift them up in prayer and to help them to continue on with the work that is here. We pray that you bless the service, help us to open our hearts and our minds to the message, be attentive to God's word. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So much. You may be seated. Our choir is going to sing for us now, Jesus is Coming.
Again, the
choir. He could be coming any minute now. That's right. All right. Let's stand together and take our hymn books and turn to 387. 387. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. I hope you're near to that this evening. 387.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait for near to the heart of God.
On the last verse now.
There is a place of full release near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, bless
place to be. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Before our message tonight, Sister Anna is going to come and sing for us now at this time.
With a towel and a bowl, with a heart that is humble, I will do my Father's will, as I let my own will crumble. If I claim to follow Christ, His love demands a sacrifice. To embrace the servant's role with a towel and a bowl. I am called to be a servant, to display the Father's grace. I am called to show the love that's shown to me. Not to stand in judgment, but to give myself away. If I want to be like Jesus, I must start upon my knees. With a towel and a bowl, with a heart that is humble, I will do my Father's will, as I let my own will crumble. If I claim to follow Christ, His love demands a sacrifice. To embrace the servant's role with a towel and a bowl. If His hands could offer mercy there upon a rugged cross, then my hand should reach in love to meet your need, to serve as His disciple, regardless of the cost. If I want to be like Jesus, I must start here on my knees. With a towel and a bowl, with a heart that is humble, I will do my Father's will, as I let my own will crumble. If I His love demands a sacrifice to embrace the servant's role with a towel and a bowl. With a towel and a bowl, with a heart that is humble, I will do my Father's will, as I let my own will crumble. If I claim to follow Christ, His love demands a sacrifice to embrace the servant's role with a towel and a bowl.
Thank you, Ms. Tabir. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and go to Luke chapter 17 tonight. Luke chapter 17. It's starting to get warm in Florida. Amen. Luke chapter 17. I want to read just a couple verses here, but I want to primarily go back. So once you have your one of the ribbons in your Bible or something you got there, then turn to Genesis 19 and put something there and come back with me to Luke 17, if you would, tonight. So we got all those, we'll be in those two passages of Scripture tonight, and I'm going to go somewhere else, but I'm going to keep it to myself till later. Amen. Luke 17. I'll say this, that about the classes, we do want, you are welcome. Please don't feel like you can't be there. If you don't know where Carter's Corner is, it's the old Presbyterian church there off of Oak Street. And if you get to that property, we'll make sure you know where Carter's Corner is. If you drive up, what is it? I think it's 8th Street, no, 9th Street. You'll see the sign on the side of the building. It's kind of the lower old fellowship hall off of the building. If you have time, we'd love for you to be a part of it with us. And I know that everybody, I'll say, if you know you're going to be on vacation or anything like that, obviously most of our staff is going to do the same thing. That won't be counted against you. We will send you the recordings, and so allow you to catch up. So if you're worried about being gone for a week or two or something along the way during that seven-week process that we're going to go through, and 7 weeks because junior camp and teen week, we will not be there. We will be at camp, okay? So just making sure everybody has kind of the put it in your mind. But if you have any questions, the best thing to do is to come out and to be there for orientation if you can be. Or show up. Amen. That's always the best way. Let me encourage you to be faithful. Brother Steve did in his prayer, it's summertime, and oftentimes we have a lot of things going on, and it is that time period where a lot of our students are gone and folks are taking time. But do your best to be faithful. If you're a part of our ministry and you're working in any area, make sure you do your best to get somebody to fill in and make sure you've told everybody. We do want folks to be in their place and have folks to be there when folks need us. And I'll just say, you know, sometimes we forget those things, but it's important for us to make sure that we're always got somebody lined up if we're going to be gone, because those things happen during the summertime, and it's important. There are some folks, and we, you know, you may not be in our bus meetings, but one of the things we have to tell the college students is make sure you tell your bus kids that you're not leaving, you're coming back, that you're going home for college for the summer, taking summer break, and you're going to be back. Because, you know, a lot of these young people that are in our Sunday school departments that are in those areas, you know, they count on being here and seeing you and seeing the people be faithful. So, again, just remember that those folks are watching all the time. The young kids, adults are watching whether we're in our place. Amen. So let's be faithful in all those things. Tonight, Luke 17, I hope you're back there with me. I gave you plenty of time. Genesis is the first book of the Bible if you haven't found it yet. All right, I'll remind you in just a few minutes. But just having a little bit of fun with you tonight. But the message, the title of the message is An Object Lesson from the Lord. An object lesson from the Lord. I think we'll take it right out of the passage of Scripture. And I'll just say this. Jesus is specifically speaking in Luke chapter 17 to his disciples about the second coming, not the rapture or the catching away of the church. He is talking about, he's speaking to Jews about his return and what it's going to be like in that period of time. So don't mix it up and put it in a wrong place. You know, Bible college, you call it eschatology. In the church, we call it end times. However you want to speak to that, again, it's just reminding us that oftentimes you got to read the context and who is being spoken to and when it is being talked about to make sure we are rightly dividing the word of truth. And so tonight, make sure I'm going to make an application for us, but it should remind us, even though this is a time period we're coming back with the Lord from heaven, this is not the rapture. It ought to remind us that the rapture is imminent, that the time period, and Jesus is speaking to them how quick this second coming is going to catch them, that people, all the times of man, judgment or coming things that are happening are always catching people unawares. And whether you like it or not, the rapture of the church is to take us away before judgment comes really on the Jew or Israel. And so as that time of Jacob's trouble is coming into play and the church is going to be called out, so we're not here for the great tribulation. And so as that happens and we see that in the scripture, realize that we can still take this time period, even though it's future and not directly speaking to us, just like we can take the Old Testament, which we will tonight for our admonition, we can look at the future things that are coming for others in judgment and also take and realize that we ought not delay some things that we ought to put into practice in our life, because we don't know. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. The loss that we might witness to are not guaranteed tomorrow. So again, an object lesson from the Lord tonight. Let's pray together before we begin to read. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your word, God. I thank you for all the things that you have revealed in your word about the future so that we can prepare and we can be reminded not to delay, that we can look back in the scripture at things that people have done, that their disobedience or their delay, God, and we can learn from that, God. I pray you'd help us tonight as your church, the body of believers tonight. Help us, Lord, to take some things in and help us with it tonight from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke chapter 17, if you would, go with me, if you would, to verse number 26. We're kind of jumping in the middle. Jesus has been asked a question by his disciples, and he's doing his best to answer it here, and he is going to give them examples. You know why he gave them examples? Because you and I need what? Examples. If you teach kids in classroom, the curriculum, it's full of examples. I want you to do algebra. Well, that's great. Could I get an example of how to do it? Could I get an example, not sometimes of, again, for most of us, we don't need an example how to do it wrong because we already do math wrong, right? But we need an example of how to do it right. And for all of us, the Bible is full of both of those things. Jesus is an ensample or the example of doing it right. And he is going to constantly make references to others who, like us, most of us, if we were going to emulate an apostle, who were most like, it'd be Peter, constantly putting our foot in our mouth, right? And constantly messing up and having to be forgiven and get right, all right? Most of us can't identify the apostle Paul. Well, once I set my face towards a flint, toward Jerusalem, I never turned back or never had a stumble, never had a problem, right? But even Paul, if we were to really go through his life, we don't have big ones, you know, not like Peter did, you know? I mean, you never find Paul naked jumping off the boat in the water when Jesus shows up, right? But at the same time, I'm sure the Apostle Paul had some things like when he split with Barnabas, when he had some trials of how he dealt with people. Every place he ever went, they wanted to kill him. You know, I'm sure that he would like to have come to a place where maybe he was presented the gospel a little bit smoother like Barnabas. I don't know. I just know this, that here we can learn some things from people in the Bible. When Jesus speaking to them, he references Noah. He tells the people that we ought to make sure that we're ready. We ought to be, this is the example of Noah. He says in verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the day of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they were married, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus, it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and the stuff in the house and his stuff in the house, let him not come down, take it away. And he that is in the field, let likewise not return back. Look at in verse 32 it says, and remember, what does he say? Remember Lot's wife. So the idea in the picture here is, out of all that Jesus says about coming judgment and things that are going on, he says that we ought not to turn back once we know what God's will is for our lives. What God clearly wants us to do, the premise or the personal object lesson is a person, and it is Lot's wife. Oftentimes we think about that Lot's wife, it's just a simple thing, and if we were in her shoes, we may have looked back too. Oftentimes we think about, well, she only had one thing that she was supposed to do, one thing to be obedient in, and she messed that up. Well, wouldn't that be true about the Garden of Eden as well? And how we thrust all men into sin? They only had one tree that they couldn't eat from. I'm just going to tell you, if we're not careful, sometimes we just believe it. Our Christian life is as simple as being obedient to God's word or being disobedient. We often think of God's word as being a huge law, and we have to try to keep it in every point. Aren't you glad that you live in a New Testament age where no one ever got saved in the Old Testament age by keeping the law. It's being obedient. It's being obedient to the Lord's command. And too many times we don't oversimplify. We make it too difficult. We cop out and think we can't do what God wants us to do. If we could not do what God asked us to do in the scripture, he would not have asked us to do it, because he would have known that you were incapable of doing it. Right. Do you know that we are incapable of saving ourselves? God never told you to do it, and man tries very hard to save themselves. Yeah. And God told us clearly, you can't do it. So he came and did it for us. So oftentimes we're trying to do the things that God don't want us to do because he's done it. It's finished. He's paid for, when we ought to be trying to making sure that we are obedient to the commands that God did give us. I think all too often we take it lightly and we think of things in a wrong manner. And here, I don't want to focus on the end times, but just to say these folks, and if you see the two, even Noah's day was wicked. Lot's day and Lot's area was more isolated, but it looks a lot like our day. I want to show you this before we move on. Not something I really read and saw in the past, but can I just tell you, Noah's day was pretty bad, all right? And I'm not going to go into deep diving of what I really believe of everything that was happening there about angels changing their first estate in Genesis chapter 6 and some real deep theological things. But simply to say this, Jesus describes the day not as planting and working and all the things that you see in Lot's day, but he says they are getting, what does it say? Look at the scripture with me. It says in verse 28, it says likewise, that's Lot. Go back with me. He says in verse 27, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage. Deals with both men and women. But when we get to Lot's age and a place that is overrun with homosexuality, do you see anything about marriage there? You're talking about a place in Noah's day that is overrun with terrible things that are going on in the world, but he describes it as eating and drinking like he did, bought and sold, planted and builded. In the early days, I'd submit this to you, even in that time, most people knew it was right. Even though they may have been doing it wrong, they were getting married and they were being given in marriage. And by the way, ladies, that's the way it ought to be. Men, you ought to be getting married, and ladies, you ought to be around and, again, submitting yourselves to a parent or someone in authority and be given away in marriage. That's right. Now we come to a day and age. Listen, Lot's, marriage was out the window. I made this statement in our married couples class this morning. I think you ought to, listen, you may not think, this is the sad part of our age. The queers, homosexuals, sodomites, they'd rather be married when everybody else that is so-called Christian is shacking up. Something has gone wrong with our world and turned way upside down. The divorce rates are going down, not because people are staying together, but people aren't getting married anymore. Shame on you if you're shacking up. Shame on you if you condone people shacking up. Shame, shame, shame. It's not God's way. God ordered it in the scripture for us to be married and to live that way. Don't think that God's going to bless one thing in your life if you're shacking up and living with somebody when you know it's wrong from the Word of God. You say, preacher, why are you going off on this? I don't know anybody, but maybe somebody's listening tonight and they need it. Maybe somebody will listen to it in the future and they need it. I told you this morning, I had no intention necessarily to go on this tangent, but you asked for it, so I'll give you, and I said I'd preach against everything. We're not like everybody else. Listen, there are places that you can go to church and they will tolerate that business and they'll go. But that is not something the church should tolerate. It's not something they should tolerate in their membership. And the reason I'm speaking about it tonight is because, again, here at Landmark, it is one of the things, if people walk down and get saved and they want to be baptized and we find out they're shacked up and living together, they will rectify that before they become members of our church. Why? Why? Because we don't want to bring that into the body of Christ. We don't want to knowingly condone that. Not that they are awful and wicked. Jesus just saved their sin. Their sin ain't no different than your sin. But if we're going to bring it in and tolerate it, what does it do? It just delays it and kicks it down for another day. We'll say, listen, we need, now that we know this and you know what's right, let's get that straight. Let's get it right. You either separate and join the body of Christ, or you marry and join the body of Christ. You say, preacher, that's old school. That's me. That's as old school as the Bible. That's as old school as Pastor Carter. If it's always been right, it's still right. Amen. You say, you're just mean. No, I'm just preaching. I just want you to know tonight, listen, it's something wrong in society when the sodomites want to wreck the Bible because they know getting married is wrong. Two men can't be married. Two women can't be married. All right? The state can do whatever they want, but God is the one that binds two. Listen, the state never made any two people, one flesh. Amen. But God does. Amen. And God never made two men, one flesh. Amen. God never made two women, one flesh. Amen. 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 He goes on and he tells us that this age, listen, think about how our day and age that we are. He says that Lot, they did eat. Why did Lot go down there? Why did Lot submit himself? Why did Lot submit himself to that the iniquity of Sodom? Because he wanted to take his cattle down there, the well-watered plains of Sodom. Look at how it's described. They bought, they sold, they planted, and they built it. They were focused on the physical things. Even at least in the days of Noah, they were focused on eating and drinking, the physical things that they had, but then marriage was something that was ordained of God. Listen, that planning and building, that's things that we all have to do, but I'm just going to tell you, so many times, listen, when we come down to obedience of God, it's always going to come down to desire. Do I desire first and foremost to obey or please God? Or do I choose or desire to please myself and to disobey God? Folks, I'm just going to tell you, that's always that you can say what you want, but it always comes down to that choice. Whether I'm going to choose me or I'm going to choose God. I'm going to choose my way or God's way. You say, preacher, why are you getting into that? Well, go to Genesis chapter 19 with me. Let's read the story. I want you to see here that these folks in Luke 19, this is Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham has begged for the city. He's begged for 50. He's begged all the way down to 10. Thinking surely Lot, in his time there, must have had at least 10 converts. At least his children and his son-in-laws and sons must be saved. There's at least 10 of Lot's family down there. Surely God will save the city for them. The sad part is, listen, when they leave, only the ones that are inside of Lot's home that he's making do right. And Lot and his wife are saved from that city, and it's not because they went out on their own volition. I just want you to see this, and I want you to picture this tonight, and I want you to think about this. What in the world? Listen, God is not raining down fire on Haines City tonight. It's not that he couldn't. If he wanted to, he could. But think about times in your life that you got so desirous of worldly things, God had to come get you and grab you by the hand and drag you out of what you were doing and make you be merciful, make merciful and save you out of it. You say, well, how would he do that? Well, he can do that by putting you in the hospital. He can do that a lot of different ways, and I'm going to tell you, you wouldn't be the first one. Listen, Lot is one of them examples from the Old Testament in the book of Genesis where they had to lay hands on him and drag him out of the place. Even though he knew it was wrong, he necessarily was not. Listen, we don't have any record here that he was participating in the wrong things in Sodom, but he was tolerating it. He was living there and just, again, even the things that says coming before, we're going to begin to read about what he was willing to do to pacify the crowd that came to his door with his daughters was a sick, gross act. And again, it just showed the heart of Lot and how wicked the city had put him and changed him. And the Bible calls him Righteous Lot. Lot was saved. He's somebody who believed in God and loved him and trusted in the coming Messiah. And God saved him out of this mess. But I'm telling you, that, listen, a saved person who embraces the world can be drug into places and taken places they never thought they would ever go. Because they just rub shoulders with the wrong crowd long enough. When Lot went down to Sodom, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Not in Sodom. But when we come to this verse, Lot's not living in a tent no more. Lot's in Sodom. He's in the city, inside the city wall. And pick up with me, if you would, in verse 12 of chapter 19 in Genesis. I want you to see this tonight. He says, "And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou," these men are angels, by the way, that have come down for the Lord. He says, "Thou hast any besides thy son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place." He talks, they're going to tell him, "For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to what? Destroy it." Folks, I'm just going to tell you, when some places get bad enough, do you know what that second coming that Jesus was referring to and use this as an object lesson? When, listen, fire and brimstone was rained down on this place, and in the future, in the great tribulation, Sodom and Gomorrah was a bad, bad thing. I mean, listen, there's a lot of Bible, listen, you know, what we have, the things that the minerals that are in the Dead Sea is where they believe that Sodom and Gomorrah was. Listen, it's the lowest place on earth. When you have, listen, we think about, we have all these powerful weapons and nuclear bombs. The lowest place on planet earth is the Dead Sea. And it's because God rained down fire and brimstone and bombarded that place into nothing. You say, that's powerful. Yeah, that's powerful because that's what heaven can do. And that is heaven restrained, because I don't know how bad it would be or how big the Dead Sea would be if Lot, listen, Lot's going to beg for another city. God tells him to get to the mountain. God wants, listen, can I tell you tonight, listen, God wants you to take high ground. When he pulls you out of a bad place, he wants you to go high and get up on high ground where you can have safety and get back to where you want, get closer to God, not just run parallel to the place you are now. Look at what he says. He says, "I'll destroy this place." He says, "because of the cry of them." Look at verse 14. "And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-law. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." I just want to tell you that just because God gets in your grill and gets you right doesn't mean everybody in your family and around you it can get right just like that too. Desperate times, he runs to them and begs them to go with him. He tries to tell them about his God, and they mocked him. You know why? Because that ain't a God that he had been worshiping. It's not a God that Lot had been obeying for a long time. In fact, his son-in-laws probably had never heard about the Jehovah God that he was speaking to them about. This is probably the very first time that when he says Jehovah's going to destroy this place. And they probably told him, "What strange God is that?" For all of us, this is one of those things. I'm preaching to the choir tonight. This is a Sunday night crowd. This is the church. But God help us that we come to a place that our children, we live right, did right for them. We come to another generation where our grandkids never heard about God. You say, well, their parents don't want them to hear about it. Listen, they can't stop you from preaching it. They can't stop you from saying, "Hey, come on and go to Grammy's house. Come to Papa's house. Come stay with us on Sundays. We'll take you to church." You know, most parents would probably like to have a day to sleep in and let you take them with them. You say, "Preacher, why are you getting after this?" Because it's important. We live in an age that sometimes we delay. But listen, can I submit to you tonight, the reason that Lot's wife turns around, I really truly believe, I can only tell you how precious your children are. But now that I'm a grandparent, I realize how precious grandkids are. And I can't imagine she is hearing that place bombarded from heaven. And screams and cries going up unto heaven. And she finally gets to a place where she cannot. And I want you to read it with me. Look at this. I want you to see. So they take him in the morning. They take him by the arm and they pull him out. Look at verse 17. Because they set them without the city in verse 16. Verse 17, "And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said," this is the angels, "escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my Lord." They give them direction and tell them to take the high ground and to go up. Now, I don't know exactly why God wanted them to go that way, or that's the direction they set them forth. Maybe Zoar, where they resort to. All right, maybe that's a place that God's going to bombard to because it's had the influence of Sodom on them. But here Lot begs, "It's too much for us. It's too far to go. We're never going to make it up there." Listen, God never would have sent him that direction if he couldn't make it. Right. If you read on in the passage, you'll find out that they go there after they leave Zoar. Can I just tell you, listen, the first point tonight is simply, you know, you will do what you put a desire in your heart to do. And if you desire to please God and to obey God, you'll go that way. Second of all, delay is simply, listen, it's simply another form of disobedience. You're delaying a decision because you know what you ought to do, but you're not willing to do right. You know what happens to people that straddle the fence? They get caught in a bad way. People that walk in the middle of the road, someday they're going to get hit. That is where Christians live today. We live in a spirit of delay. I know what God wants from me, but I'm unwilling to obey him. And listen, delayed obedience is simple disobedience. Amen and amen. Can I just say this? Listen, they delay again. They delay when they're told to get ready to leave the city. They're taken by the hand by God and forced to leave the city. They're taken outside the city, and when they say, "Take and go up to the mountain," they say this, "Just give us this little city over here. Would you do that?" Can I just tell you that God loves you? He's long-suffering. And sometimes God will give you what you want instead of his best. Listen, now, I just want to submit to you tonight, 3 out of the 4 of them that God took out of the city and set down made it. That's not too bad odds, is it? Are you willing to bet 3 out of 4 of your family? Is that the odds you want to go? You know what I'll do? I'll change God's perfect will and I'll go over to Zoar, over here, everything will be fine. Was everything fine? One of them didn't make it. I want you to see that sometimes, and this is where we live, we find a place of safety. Look at what the Bible says. It says in verse 23, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Now, I want you to picture this, and I want you to understand, Lot physically made it into Zoar. In Middle Eastern country, is as the custom, and I would say upon this, because he's going to say that his wife was behind him. His wife is following him. I would imagine Lot's got both of those girls, and he's dragging them for everything he's worth. And his wife is pulling up the rear. Lot crosses the threshold of Zoar. And I really believe this with all my heart, that Lot's wife was just one step from getting inside the city. And just before she entered into a place of safety and a place of even God's, I don't believe in God's permissive will, if I could say it that way, but a half measure that God was okay with, where he wasn't going to destroy them. And Lot's wife looked back. Do you know how many people make it real close to doing what God asked them to do, but they won't go all the way through? They'll get right on the edge of living for God or being what God wants them to be, but they still want to keep one foot or one toe in the world. Look at what Lot's wife does here. They made it all the way there. In verse 25, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. In verse 26, but his wife, talking about Lot's wife, looked back behind him, from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, all my life and all the storybooks and the flannel graphs, they always showed Lot's wife kind of, I always pictured it on a mountainside. Now, listen, I'm just going to tell you, do you know that I really believe that they would have still been climbing and would have been too busy and had to pay attention to the climb instead of looking back? But they came to a place of false safety. And she turned around and looked back, and she became, listen, that city Zoar is still there today, and there's still a pillar of salt. Not out in the desert somewhere or on the mountainside, but right there at the gate of Zoar. Why? Because that's where she looked back. You say, preacher, why? How do you know that? Well, all the way to Jesus' time, Jesus was pointing to something that all of them could have gone and seen. And had been pointed it out them to them before. There's a place in that pillar, and that right there, that's Lot's wife. Now, does it look like all the granite that we see? Salt don't stay exactly in that same pose as granite does it? It starts to whittle away and fall to pieces and things. And if you've ever had a good hard block of salt, you know it don't waste away real quick. You say, preacher, why are you getting at this? Because I really believe that sometimes, and especially church, maybe you're drug in here, live with mom and dad, and you're made to come to church, and you got one toe. You got more than one toe in the world. You got one whole foot, or you're straddling the fence, and you're in a place. Listen, I'm preaching to you tonight. Be careful the next step that you take in this life. Not because I'm mad with you. I love you, and I'm willing to preach against going out into the world and getting away from God. Because, listen, disobedience to God always leads. Listen, desire, delay leads to disobedience. And disobedience always, always, always leads to death. If you will want to live the Christian life and go headlong for the world, God is not above being merciful to you and taking you to home to be with him. Do you know you think that God killing you is the worst thing he could do? But there are places in this world, there are nursing homes I've been in with young people before they were 60 years old, and they told me about the life that they lived. They were a Christian, got saved as a teenager, and they lived an awful, rotten, worldly life, and now they're wheelchair-bound, on machines to be able to breathe, telling people and telling anybody they can, don't live the way I lived. You don't want to come to this place. We live in a day and age where, listen, they're not the ones they put on the billboards. They're not the people that they have sell the cigarettes or the booze and alcohol and all the things in the world that everybody thinks. And listen, yes, those people that are laying in that place would tell you tonight that there was fun in sin for a season. But if you ask them to trade the good old days of sin for what was happening to them for decades of their life, laying in a bed and having to have somebody else change them, you'd have another thing coming. They'd tell you it ain't worth it. Don't go down that road. If Lot's wife from heaven could tell you today, I would have preferred to stay with my husband and my daughters, but I was disobedient to God. Why? Well, you delay enough and keep putting something off and putting something off. You know where it happens? Happens with your house. Happens with your marriage. Happens with your kids. You delay spanking them long enough, and all of a sudden you feel like, you know what? This ain't helping. What does the Bible say? Spare the rod and what? Does it say anything about once the child's spoiled, what are you going to do? When you start spanking them and they turn around and look at you like it's abuse, instead of training them up from a child in their youth that this is what correction is. We've raised a generation of spoiled children, and when they're corrected, they have this, how dare you correct me? How many of them, listen, they come to church and they go to a good church like this and something happens and the church corrects them and they don't know how to take correction. They're going to run and go to some other church because I'm not going to be corrected. Folks, tonight I just want to tell you, listen, disobedience leads to death. I want you to turn with me one more place, James. James tonight, quickly. This is a good New Testament passage to keep in your Bible and to keep hold of because it'll help you with this. And I will say this, it'll help you in the way, I didn't mark it, so I hope you're turning there tonight, but I'll say it'll help you in this respect. When we come to the place where James here, he's going to say some things that is important to us about this desire, delay, disobedience, and death. Look at the scripture with me. Verse 15, he says, then when lust, that's desire, that's a wrong desire, hath conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. What does sin make us do? Delay from being obedient to God. And then we like sin and we stay in sin, and when sin, when it is what? Finished. It bringeth forth what? Death. Now, I want you to take this to heart tonight. Listen to me, Christian. The next few words are, do not err. Why do you think that that's in there? Do you think God made a mistake putting that in the Bible? There's no mistakes in the Bible. He says, don't you think that I stuttered? Don't you err? Don't you for 1 minute think that God, that process that God has set up is that God is against you. I preached this morning that God is for you. And if you don't realize God loves you, you got another thing coming. Don't err. He says, my beloved brethren, this isn't for the world. He's not talking to the lost person. He's saying, my beloved brethren, guess what happens when you lust? You sin. And when you sin, sin brings forth what? He's talking to saved people. He's not talking about the second death. He's talking about you and me taking our last breath on this side of heaven because of disobedience to God. And he comes to a place where he says, every good gift. You want to take your gifts? Hey, listen to me, young people. Listen to me, older folks. You want to take the good gifts that God gave them and squander them on the world? Because that's what you do. Well, I'm talented, so I'm going to go use this for me. Well, who gave you that gift? God gave it to you. Don't think that one thing, nobody pulled themselves up by their bootstrap. If you're smart enough to memorize it and you got your doctorate degree, guess who gave you that gift and that ability? It was God. You didn't get that on your own. I'm good with my hands. Who gave you that gift? God gave you that gift. I think well on my feet. Well, who's keeping you standing upright? God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. That means that God is not about to change, even though he wants you to, and turn and come home to him. Neither shadow of turning. You say, preacher, why'd you read that verse? Because I want you to understand this, that Christians, we need to be preached to like this. We need to realize that on a regular basis, all of us have besetting sins, and we lust after them. And instead of that, we ought to beg God for the right desires, to take the wrong desires, to help us to overcome those desires and to have the desire that we ought to have for the things of the Lord. Then when God tells us what he wants us to do, don't put it off and don't delay. Be obedient, because delay brings us to a place. Delayed obedience is what? It's disobedience. And I'll just say this tonight. Disobedience, when we delay long enough, we'll just decide disobedience is okay. You know where it comes to? Well, so-and-so doesn't do that. Hey, staff, listen to me. I want you to listen up for a minute. How many of you know, well, so-and-so doesn't go soul winning, so I don't have to. So-and-so doesn't do this, so I don't have to. When you start measuring yourself by yourself, you're in trouble. Delayed or just simple disobedience is disobedience. You say, preacher, He didn't write the staff handbook. No, but he wrote this book. And this book says we ought to be what? Going soul winning. That ain't just for the staff. That's for all of us. We ought to be about the business of souls. We ought to be working for the things of God. People ought to know. Lot's family didn't even know that he was saved. Do the people around you that are close to you know that you're saved? That you're bought with a price, that you're on the way to heaven? Listen, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, listen, do you know that you can accept Jesus just like Lot did? Lot didn't do it right. Nobody in this building is perfect tonight, and every one of us had to come to the place where we accepted Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. You say, well, preacher, what if I've been delaying? Then stop delaying. You've been desiring the wrong thing? Ask God to give you a desire for the right thing. I've been disobedient. You know how to correct that? Be obedient. Decide, I'm done with this. I'm not going to tell God no anymore. I'm going to do what God told me to do. What is that going to help me avoid? Death. Now, I'll just say this. You say, preacher, you really believe God's going to kill me? Well, he didn't kill all of them. Only Lot's wife died, right? Oh, no. Everybody in Sodom and Gomorrah. When you start counting family members, it was a lot more than just one out of four, wasn't it? Hey, let me just tell you this. This morning, you want me to bring it where it's home? This morning, I stood at that back door, and a lady handed me her phone. I could tell she was upset, and she told me that she lost a friend. A friend was 89 years old. She asked me to read the phone because I think she couldn't bring herself to say what was on the phone. And I tried to read it quickly, and I read through there, and I thought that it said the lady had gotten saved. I read it very fast, and I handed her the phone back, and I said, so she did get saved? And she goes, no, preacher, that's what it says. She delayed too long. She decided to be disobedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ and went out into eternity. Folks, you don't have to be 89 to get worried. None of us are promised tomorrow. None of your family members are promised tomorrow. Not one person is promised another hour of this life. Listen, you know, Noah and all those folks, they thought they'd been preached to for hundreds and hundreds of years by Noah. They watched him working on a boat by himself down there with them boys and thought, you know what, this is just a crazy man. All along, Noah's telling them that a flood's coming. Do you know what talking about judgment from heaven sounds like to a lost person? Sounds about like what Noah was preaching about a flood. That man's crazy. But listen, I can tell you this. When it started raining, it was too late. How about Lot? I guarantee you, God would not have killed all of those folks in that town if he had not first sent a preacher. And somebody walked through them streets of preachers of righteousness just crying out that God, that was coming for them. Listen, if God would send a Jonah to Nineveh, he sure sent a preacher to Sodom. And what'd they do? We don't know about him. He may not have hardly ever made it through the city. them people were going to take angels and hurt them, what would they have done to a preacher that came to the town? They'd have killed him. Folks, I'm just telling you tonight, we live in an age where too many of us delay the obedience of God. Our kids are watching us. Sunday school teachers, listen, kids are watching you. Bus captains, kids are watching you. Teenagers, your little brothers and sisters are watching you. They watch us be disobedient through delay. Tonight, the invitation is this. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you get saved? Why don't you just obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Don't delay anymore in disobedience. When you accept Jesus Christ, you receive him and you get eternal life. But the opposite of that, now that you've been presented with the gospel, is rejection, rejecting him. Hey, you're here tonight, you're a Christian. You've accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you accept the rest of God's word? Or did you only believe the part about you can go to heaven? Because many times Christians want to believe the pieces that they like, and they want to cut it apart and throw away the rest. But the rest of it's just as true as Jesus is the Savior, and that he can save you tonight. All the rest of it's true. It'll keep you out of trouble. Can I just ask you to do this tonight? Church, I want you, if you don't take anything else, listen, instead of running to Zor and trying to take a shortcut on God, why don't you take the high ground and decide, I'm going to go the way God told me to go. I'm going to do it God's way because that's the best way. That's the way for my family. That's the best way for me. That's the best way for everybody that's going to come after me. Hey, tonight, listen, would you just do what God's asked you to do? I don't know what it is. I know this. I know the Holy Spirit's good enough to poke you right in your heart and say, this is what I've been asking you to do. This is what I've been wanting you to do. But you haven't been obedient to it. Tonight, would you stand to your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight? If God's spoken to your heart, the musicians are going to come, but don't wait for them tonight. Would you step out and be obedient to God and do what God asked you to do? If you're here and you're not saved, would you come and meet me in the front? We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. I'm going to pray for you. And as I pray for you, would you step out and come to the front? Dear Lord, I pray that you be with those. Maybe they're here, Lord, and they're lost and not on their way to heaven. They don't know how to be saved. God, would you help them step out and let us take a Bible and show them how to be saved? God, I pray for our Christians, our church, Lord. Help us to desire the right things, to not delay anymore the obedience of the Word of God. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily.
Bow your head with me tonight. Folks have come. They're praying tonight. Would you step out and come tonight? Maybe God spoke to your heart. You say, preacher, I'll deal with it when I get home. That sounds like more delay to me. Oh, I need to be saved tonight, but preacher, I'm good. I'm just going to wait at a more convenient time. Folks, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised another hour. Can I just beg you tonight, if you're here and you're lost, you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you step out and make your way to the front? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know that for sure. Be obedient to the Scripture tonight. accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't delay. Do it tonight. As Brother Burt sings, you step out and come.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, holy.
We close out tonight. Let me just say this. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior and you weren't really sure about what you were supposed to do, right after the service, I'll wait right here for a few minutes. I'd love for you to come down and just say, "Preacher, I need to accept Christ. I'd love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved." It would be terrible if we preached a message like that, we did a warning and told you about what's coming if you don't obey the truth, and then let you leave and not accept Christ. Please, most of the people in this building tonight know Christ. If they don't know how to show you, they'll take you to somebody who can. Please don't leave lost. Make sure that you accept Christ as your Savior. Church, let me say this. Thank you for being faithful. You're so good to us. Tithes, offerings, attendance, all the work that you do. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I never want my people, which I'm a part of, yeah, I'm a member here too, amen. I never want you to think that I take that for granted. Every time I come into the building, I look and I think God is so good that my people, that God has put as a shepherd, that you're faithful. Thank you for being faithful. Let's pray together. Dear God, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I pray you'd help all of us to continue faithful till you come. God, be with our families. Hedge them about. Protect them, Lord. Be with all of our members, Lord, as they go to work and all the things that will happen this week. I pray that you'd be with them. Help them to be blessed and prosperous, Lord. Bring us back to this place at the appointed hour. God, if there's one that needs to be saved, God, don't let them leave tonight without Jesus. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.